Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Lost in the Static, and we have a very important topic tonight. We're not going to be dicking around as much as we normally do, but we still want to remind you to go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC to get 50% off of a single item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a free mystery gift at adamandeve.com for using the promo code STATIC.
The internet is one of the United States' most robust and growing industries. It enables free and open communication among billions, and it's been the backbone for protests around the world. But a new bill proposes we give the power to censor the internet to the entertainment industry. It's called Protect IP, and here's how it works. Private corporations want the ability to shut down unauthorized sites where people download movies, TV shows, and music. Since most of these sites are outside U.S. jurisdiction, Protect IP uses a couple different tactics within American borders. Firstly, it gives the government the power to make U.S. internet providers block access to infringing domain names. They can also sue U.S.-based search engines, directories, or even blogs and forums to have links to these sites removed. Secondly, Protect IP gives corporations and the government the ability to cut off funds to infringing websites by having U.S.-based advertisers and payment services cancel those accounts. In a nutshell, that's what Protect IP will try to do. But in all likelihood, it'll do something else altogether. For starters, it won't stop downloaders. You'll still be able to access a blocked site just by entering its IP address instead of its name. What Protect IP will do is cripple new startups because it also lets companies sue any site they feel isn't doing their filtering well enough. These lawsuits could easily bankrupt new search engines and social media sites. And Protect IP's wording is ambiguous enough that important social media sites could become targets. Lots of trailblazing websites could look like piracy havens to the wrong judge. Tumblr, SoundCloud, and early YouTube, wherever people express themselves, make art, broadcast news, or organize protests, there's plenty of TV footage, movie clips, and copyrighted music mixed in. And even if you trust the US government not to abuse their new power to censor the net, what about the countries that follow in our path and pass similar laws? People around the world will have very different internets, and unscrupulous governments will have powerful tools to hinder free expression. But perhaps most dangerously, Protect IP will meddle with the inner workings of the net. Experts believe by fiddling with the web's registry of domain names, the result will be less security and less stability. In short, Protect IP won't stop piracy, but it will introduce vast potential for censorship and abuse while making the web less safe and less reliable. This is the internet we're talking about. It's a vital and vibrant medium, and our government is tampering with its basic structure so people will maybe buy more Hollywood movies. But Hollywood movies don't get grassroots candidates elected. They don't overthrow corrupt regimes, and the entire entertainment industry doesn't even contribute that much to our economy. The internet does all these and more. Corporations already have tools to fight piracy. They have the power to take down specific content, to sue peer-to-peer software companies out of existence, and to sue journalists just for talking about how to copy a DVD. They have a history of stretching and abusing their powers. They tried to take a baby video off YouTube just for the music playing in the background. They've used legal penalties written for large-scale commercial piracy to go after families and children. They even sued to ban the VCR and the first MP3 players. So the question is, how far will they take all this? The answer at this point is obvious. As far as we'll let them. Since we made this video, Protect IP has gotten much worse and is set up for quick passage. Now, the government and corporations could block any site, foreign or domestic, just for one infringing link. Sites like YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook would have to censor their users or get shut down, since they become liable for everything users post. And ordinary users could go to jail for 5 years for posting any copyrighted work, even just singing a pop song.
Okay, and the rest of this is
all right,
pretty much visual.
Sorry for the 4-minute audio there, but it was necessary to really preface what we're talking about here. Although, one thing that they did say in that is incorrect. It just came out. Now, keep in mind, when you're hearing this is about 3 weeks or so before, or we record this about 3 weeks before you're hearing this.
Yeah, yeah. We don't exactly do breaking news on the show, but this is
important.
Important and has been going on behind closed doors for much too long now.
The European Union refuses to have anything to do with SOPA. The European Union will not enforce SOPA laws or accept SOPA laws.
And the reason
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. The reason for that is prior to SOPA, there was ACTA. And ACTA was done as it was a conglomeration of 12 or 15 countries somewhere around there. It was done completely behind closed doors where nobody could even see this act pass or see this act until after it passed. And luckily, there was enough of an uprising in a few of these countries that ACTA has since been published and some more or less shut down.
But, okay, first of all, I told you off mic that there was a conspiracy theory going out about SOPA. Now, this actually makes sense, so let me explain the whole thing before you say, wait a minute, that's dumb.
Okay.
All right. SOPA is so broad and so ambiguously worded that the conspiracy theory is they don't want this to pass. This is a test bill. What they're going to do is they're going to try and push this through. They know Obama has basically already said he's going to veto it. He's not going to sign this if it hits his desk. They're trying to see who their allies are. So then maybe next year they try and do a more targeted law. They know what senators are on their side, what congressmen are on their side, and maybe we have a new president that won't veto this bill. That this whole thing is a test to see who's on their side.
That's not a bad theory. But
and it does make us weird sort of sense, though, doesn't it?
It does, but I also... Okay, let me preface this when it comes to Protect IP, because I have a very weird look at this. I don't have a problem with trying to stop online piracy. I really don't.
Because we're both pirates.
Well, we're both pirates, and to tell you the truth, they can try all they want. They're not going to. It's been tried, and if you are truly going to stop online piracy, you're going to just shut down the internet.
Well, and then also...
But...
Okay, sorry.
The problem with SOPA and the problem with Protect IP as it stands is that the wording is way too broad. Way too broad. Not only are you going to shut down true pirates, not only are you going to shut down those that are infringing on IP, but because of the wording, people like Weird Al, who does
parody,
protected under the law. Parody is protected under the law, right?
Not so much here, because, yeah, Jillian and I talked about that on What the Fuck. Fair use go away.
Yeah, fair use goes away, that parody laws go away so that Weird Al can make all the albums he wants. He just can't press a CD because that's digital distribution. He can't distribute on the internet. And let's be honest, if you're just putting out albums or tapes, it's not going to happen.
Not nowadays.
Exactly. And that's the major problem with SOPA is they kind of go in with these two big guns. And they go, this is for online piracy, which nobody likes.
Instead of using a sniper rifle, they're using a shotgun.
A bazooka, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going in with, that's their first bazooka, is this will stop online piracy. And piracy is bad, and we want to protect our intellectual property.
Except piracy only accounts for, what, 2% of the losses Hollywood faces?
We can get into that later. Can I finish?
All right.
Thank you. That's their first bazooka, is stopping online piracy because it's bad. Their second bazooka that they always drag up is child porn. If we find anybody doing child porn under SOPA, they can shut them down and block them and boom, no more distribution.
Can't they do that now?
Yeah, but yes, they can. Yes,
like,
they can.
It's like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think they can do that now.
But that's the two bazookas that the entertainment industry or anybody trying to regulate the internet always come in with those two. And now, number one, child pornography is abhorrent and it should be stopped. And it's awful behavior. We've talked about that.
Yes, there is no justification.
Yeah, none.
We can justify being video pirates. There's no justification for child porn.
Exactly. And so, yeah, that's one bazooka I agree with. The other bazooka of protect IP or protect our intellectual property, I can kind of stand behind that in some areas because we have intellectual property out there on the internet. Let's say you and I did a radio show and we were charging for this.
We've discussed this, but
for
yes,
any reason, if we were charging for this and it got out there and it got pirated, yeah, I'd be a little bit upset, but at least more people would hear it, and maybe if they hear it and like it, they'll come and buy and blah, 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 blah. But we've discussed that ad nauseum.
In previous episodes.
The problem with SOPA is it not only shuts down those pirates, it shuts down, like we said in the intro, it shuts down startups, new social networks, including, and it could potentially shut down all of Twitter. It could shut down
Facebook,
YouTube, Google could be sued.
eBay. Because
now
this is something you'd know about. I wanted to ask you about this. Jillian,
sure,
and I talked about it a little bit on the What the Fuck episode we did on SOPA. But remember how you had that thing about how, you know, like when you buy a movie, you don't actually own the movie. You
That's
own the
right.
It seems like they're trying to stop that. You wouldn't even be able to resell a movie on eBay because technically you're infringing on the copyright because you don't own anything. You don't own that movie.
Technically, right now, it's illegal.
Right.
And they could because I think it's post-2002, any movie that comes out post-2002 in the DVD. When you buy a DVD, folks, you're not buying that movie. You're not even buying a copy of that movie. You're buying a right.
You're leasing. I think that's a
no. You're not even leasing because you're not doing recurring payments. What you're doing is you're buying the right to display that movie on your equipment in your home. Now, if you want to resell that movie, technically illegal.
They've been trying to stop that since before the internet.
Yeah, video games, and EA is a really, really big pig about this, and they are actually behind Protect IP because that will kill the video game resale. And what they want to do is put in codes in games so that, let's say you buy an Xbox game. Well, there's a little tiny thing called a rootkit that gets thrown onto your Xbox hard drive or your memory card or whatever it requires to have there. And it says, okay, here's the Xbox serial number. Here's the game serial number. These two match up. Now, let's say your Xbox fails. You go out and buy another Xbox or something like that, or you sell the game to your friend and you throw it in and it connects through Xbox Live and all that and says, oh, wait a minute, that license for the game is linked to this other serial number. You've got this in the same serial number.
They already do that with PC games. Spoonie had a huge rant when he bought whatever that Chronicles of Riddick game was.
Yeah.
Maximum 3 installs. After that, it's a fucking $60 coaster.
Yep.
And he was bitching about that it's a $60 coaster.
And that stuff, luckily, some game companies, especially Sony, completely turned around on their rootkits and completely turned around on this stuff. But guess what's in Protect IP / SOPA?
Well, there's all these little things hidden all over in the background that have not come to light yet that are all under guard.
Places like Yelp. Yelp is a restaurant review site.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You go out, you eat. If it's good, you give them a blah star review and you put up a little review on Yelp and you may...
Your iPod's about to fall down.
Oh. Eh,
I just don't want it to fall on the floor.
If it does, it does. but you go out, you review it on Yelp and maybe you show the restaurant, the front of the restaurant, and maybe they include their logo or their menu or something. Well, guess what? Yelp offline. Because that is intellectual property of that restaurant. If they don't like your review, the restaurant can contact Yelp and go, you're using our stuff. We don't want to be mentioned. That guy with the glasses, out of business.
Oh, that guy with the glasses, Cinema Snob, Angry Video Game Nerd, all of them.
Yep.
Gone because they all rely on fair use.
Yep.
I mean, Brad outright said his site would become a vlog and public domain site then, and he probably wouldn't be able to live off that income any longer.
Exactly. And they mentioned even your local network news. Okay. Let's say at Marcus Theaters here in Green Bay, somebody goes to a movie, The Invaders from Planet X or whatever, and it's playing and it's huge and it's a big hit. And then they come out and inspired by the movie, they go crazy and shoot 20 people. Well, you could say this happens at Marcus Theater. You could say 20 people were shot. You
can't show the Marcus.
You can't show the theater. You cannot tell them what movie they saw to inspire this. You can't mention basically anything.
What it does is it basically gives the movie studios 100% authority over anything anyone says about the, basically any kind of negative review goes away. You know, you review a movie bad, it goes away. And you got to remember, like in that video, they mentioned how Sony tried to stop the VCR. Yep. That's that landmark 1984 Sony versus Betamax decision. For those that are way too young, I mean, Scott, you remember this, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sony basically sued Betamax. The VHS wasn't really even a competitor at that point.
Right.
So they sued Betamax saying the fact that you make this machine that allows somebody to be able to pay $30 to buy a movie and watch it 100 times, that's infringing on our copyright because we have the right to charge every single time a movie is out. And you got to remember, the studios, I'm not trying to turn this into like a Radio Drome episode, but the studios were the last people to jump on the VHS bandwagon. It was all the indies and the upstarts that filled the VHS market and porn.
Yep.
Porn is why VHS succeeded, because of porn. People wanted to be able to watch that movie in their home and not have to go to that grungy movie theater downtown. And the studios hated this. They did everything they could to stop the VCR. And it's the same thing today. Every time they see a new piece of technology, they want to stop it because they don't know how they can make money off of it yet.
Yep. And that's the basic power of SOPA and Protect IP. And I realize that I'm talking just to our U.S. listeners, and I don't want to alienate our worldwide listeners because we are just talking about a U.S. act, because similar acts like this have popped up in British Parliament. They've popped up in German.
Doesn't China censor the internet?
Well, China has the Great Red Wall.
Yeah,
and that's the great firewall of China, it's called, and that's
I never heard that. That's weird.
Yeah, China is a good example of what the U.S. and the British and the German internets could become, because China does censor the bejeebus out of their internet, and trust me, look it up online. Do a little Google it while you can. To the point that they have, what is it, Baidu, I believe. They even have a search engine. When Google came into China and said, we want to do business here, and China said, okay, but you have to censor your results to this.
Right.
And Google went, no, screw you. Then they went, well, never mind, we've got Baidu. And Baidu is the Chinese equivalent of Google. And even though Google is doing business with China now, it can't compete because of the censorship issues, right, and stuff like that. But that is what they're trying to do with the U.S. And I've said this way too many times. Intellectual property, intellectual invention, and technological advancement in the U.S. on the manufacturing level has stopped. Okay, we're not a great industrial country anymore. Yeah, we've got cars, we've got paper, and there's occasional little leaps and bounds. But you take a look at, for instance, cars. You're seeing a lot of the great technological advancements come out of Japan.
Even medical. Whenever a new medical technology comes out, how often do they say, "Oh, you know, a Detroit doctor came up with this," or a California physician? No, it's always a French. Or a British,
French
or a
British,
German, or
German.
A Swedish.
Yeah, it's coming out of the EU, which is a rising industrial deal right now. And I know you guys are in the financial poop, and you're going, what are you talking about? And
we're in financial poop too.
Yeah, trust me, this is a worldwide thing. But you're seeing some, it's usually outside of the country. Technological computer advancement and intellectual property advancement and information advancement is our last great industry in the United States. And what Protect IP wants to do is to rip control of that innovation, to rip control of that entire industry out of the hands of even the U.S. government.
They want to give it to the companies.
They want not just the companies, the entertainment companies.
Right.
If you were to rip it out of the U.S. government's hands and just hand it over to Google and go, okay, the internet is your responsibility now, I could almost deal with that because I know Google's philosophy.
But here's something that you, of all people, will appreciate. You know the inventiveness of all the people on the internet.
Yes.
You can't tell me, let's say for the sake of argument, SOPA passes, okay?
Okay.
By 2013, do you not see a second underground internet built around this that people will continue to use, sort of like a Tor network? You know how inventive these people are. They will figure out how to peer-to-peer to people's houses and whatnot, going around what we think of as the current internet. I absolutely see this.
Josh.
There's the inventiveness out there.
It's actually built. Number one, you've got the Onion Network, which is all Tor, which if SOPA passes, guess what I'm doing?
You're going to be touring the shit?
Exactly. I don't care if it's 56K speeds. I'm going to be using Tor.
I will be as well.
Exactly. You're going to see an explosion in Onion sites, and that could actually be a good thing for the Tor network because it'll...
Speed it up?
Yes, it will speed it up, but it will also push a lot of the stuff that they trade on that underground network because they have to, stuff like that.
Will go away.
It won't go away, but it will be shoved down. It'll be like it'll go further underground because it'll have to too. We also have the academic internet, the I2, which you heard a lot about in the 90s, especially if you were going to college. It was the next great thing was I2 and Internet 2. It's a completely separate academic only network.
That's the other thing.
It's still there. It's still in use. It wasn't the great powerhouse they thought it was going to be, but it's still there. It's still being used quite a bit.
That's the other thing. SOPA would affect academics.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to quote from movies. You wouldn't be able to, you know, quote lyrics from a song or anything anymore. That would violate SOPA. Mm-hmm. I know I'm kind of bitching that, college students will actually have to read a book again, a physical book.
No, but it's not even that. It's that research would become considerably more difficult. Because let's say SOPA passes. Not only does the entertainment industry get the right to basically bypass due process but let's say we're medical students.
Okay.
And we're doing research and we publish a white paper on GE's new Fritzic imaging machine, whatever a Fritzic imaging machine is. It's the next great thing to come out of GE. Okay. GE has the right to go, no electronic publishing of this white paper because it infringes on our patents and blah, 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 blah. And it off-label uses for this Fritzic machine are discussed, and we don't want that to happen.
SOPA will completely destroy real dialogue between not only academics, but between just peer-to-peer. Like you and me talking over the internet, it would destroy that.
Exactly. And they mentioned at the end that SOPA was getting even more wide. It's to the point now to where they're talking about monitoring. You and I talk on Google Talk all the time, just an instant messenger.
It's easier than sending an email sometimes. Hey, Scott, I need to talk to you about blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So Google Talk, Skype, AIM, all that kind of stuff. They're talking about monitoring that. So that if you and I, for instance, on Google Talk, I would send to you going, oh, hey, I got this new copy of blah. Do you want me to rip you a copy too? Boom. That they can use that as evidence.
That would keyword.
Yeah, that would keyword, and they would monitor and stuff like that. It's a ridiculous act that violates the current system of fair use. And I'm not saying that the current system of fair use doesn't have its problems.
But it's not enough problems that you... Like you use the analogy of a bazooka. Yeah. This is burning your house down to get some to get rid of some cockroaches.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. And so I can't stress...
But you also got to remember, Scott, this thing has so much support. There is nary a dissenter.
There was one. One in the House.
Almost everybody is going, you know what? The people that pay
in
all...
the Senate, rather.
All the entertainment people that own me and pay for all my campaigns, they really want this. I can't not support this publicly.
Yeah, so the... and
that's the part that made me the saddest, that some certain politicians where I went, yeah, you know, on previous things, like the people who, you know, opposed the Patriot Act and that, and went, yeah, all right, you got balls. And they went behind this, and I went, you fucking, you're a fucking prison bitch.
Thank you, Senator from Oregon. I believe he was from Oregon, was the only dissent in the Senate.
Yeah, he was on Countdown a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But fightforthefuture.org is a good place to go to learn more, including if you're in the U.S., you can learn who your representatives are, who your senators are, and how to write them easily. There's also a phone. If you follow me on Facebook, you've seen all of the postings I've had about this thing and how much I
abhor it. Well, what I want to encourage our listeners to do, obviously only if you're in the U.S., this applies. Whatever your local state representative is, you call them, you write them, and tell them if you keep supporting this bill, your ass ain't getting reelected.
Exactly.
And you make that clear that if you support this, you are not going to keep your goddamn job.
And if you find your country of origin, whether it's Serbia or the UK or whatever, if you find a similar act within your parliament, get in touch with your MP. That's the problem with having old white men in charge of a country, and it's not just the U.S.
Oh no,
it's the problem.
The U.S.
with having,
is a symptom, not the cause.
Exactly. The problem with having a bunch of old men in charge of a country is that old men don't understand modern issues like this, and I really I've heard interviews with some MPs about ACTA and about some of the other stuff. And they were just completely clueless as to the powers that this kind of regulation would have.
Well, it's because whenever they talk about this publicly, you'll notice they always use the P in SOPA. Mm-hmm. Piracy. By the way, SOPA, we should probably say that for those that don't know, Stop Online Piracy Act. I guess more than 30 minutes, or I think we're about 30 minutes into the show, we probably should have mentioned
we've,
that prior
we've
to
talked.
This.
We have.
But I'm just... but. What it comes down to is they always trout out the piracy card.
Yeah.
And see, that's what they're cloaking this in. We're protecting copyright.
Exactly.
We're protecting you from the pirates, Scott.
Yep.
I know you're a pirate, but just for the sake of example.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No.
Don't look at me like
no,
that.
I'm not.
Arr, matey.
No.
You know, it's one of those things like whenever a local town or a local municipality tries to pass some, you know, draconian new law, it's always for the children. We need to protect the children. You know, they always cloak it in something. So you immediately go, oh, yeah, piracy. Piracy is bad. So I'm going to support this because piracy is not good.
Well, see, that again, that's the second bazooka is the pirates and the children. And
but as I brought up a little bit before you yelled at me, piracy, while there is a lot of it, when you look at the whole of the entertainment industry, piracy accounts for between 2 and 5% of that industry. So to use a bazooka to take out the other 95% is ridiculous.
My cat has fleas. I'm going to put her down and burn her.
Right. The piracy is so minuscule. You know, first of all, and I'm not going to make this into a filmmaker rant, but you got idiots like Eli Roth, who blamed the failure of Hostel 2 on bootlegging because somebody uploaded it. He totally doesn't take into consideration the fact that most pirates, if you're going to download a movie, you were never going to pay for it in the first place. I don't know. I am one of those ones. I will not go see a movie that I can't see for free. Okay? If I want to see Hangover 3, or I should say I don't want to see Hangover 3, if it's offered to me for free, I'll watch it. I'm never going to pay for that. So you lost no money by me downloading that movie.
And I'm on the opposite end of the scale. If I download a movie or see something that I experience either on my computer screen or out in the living room, maybe, you know, do I want to experience this on the big screen? It's really good. I'll go.
See, but you just brought up that that's interesting. I kind of use torrents when I'm not talking about oops stuff, you know, stuff you can only find on a, you know, $80 VHS tape on eBay kind of thing.
Right.
Is sort of a try it before you buy it.
Yeah, and that's, I will watch things online, and I will watch movies that I happen to get my greedy little hands on the computer, and if I like it enough, and there I can think of plenty of examples of this, but if I like it enough, I will A, go see it in the theater maybe, if it's still there. If it's not, I'll go buy the DVD because I want a copy of it.
And you know me, I'm a collector. You've seen my collection.
Yeah.
If I like a movie, I don't want the digital copy. We've talked about this endlessly. I want the physical copy. If I download your movie and go, damn, that was really good, I'm going to go out and try and buy that. It literally is a try it before you buy it. And they might go, well, you know, that's wrong because just because the movie sucks, you should have paid for it anyway. And I go, well, fuck you. 99% of what you put out sucks, so I'm not going to buy your DVDs then.
Exactly. But and so that's maybe one argument in favor of piracy. Shoot.
There
have been a couple of local bands even and guys that are artists.
I was gonna bring up garage bands and stuff.
That are, you know, and I cannot remember his name to save my life.
This Paul McCurdy guy you constantly
Pat,
bring up?
Pat McCurdy. Whatever. Thank you. Pat McCurdy. And he said, you know, yeah, it kind of sucks that my albums are out there and available for free on piracy sites, but he's met a lot of people who said, you know, if I couldn't get your album on the piracy site, I would never have come to see you live.
Well, Jill, you know, I'm sorry to keep bringing up Jillian, but she said about you brought up Paranoia, you know, jokingly last week. Well, Paranoia started showing up on the torrent sites about 3 weeks after it came out on DVD. That's the movie that her and Brad made. And she said at first there was like a knee-jerk reaction of getting offended. And then she said the people who are downloading it would have never bought it anyway. You know, so then they were just, you know, it's going to happen.
That and well, Paranoia is a perfect example of I downloaded it. Sorry, Brad. I downloaded it. I watched it. I enjoyed it. And now once I get some holiday money, I'm going to order a DVD from Brad.
Do you want me to, are you hinting you want me to try and use my connection to get you a free copy?
No, because I want to give him some money because he did a decent movie.
I hate to say this.
You don't care for it?
I haven't seen it yet. I asked for a review screener when it first came out, and he never sent it to me.
Oh, Josh.
He never sent me a screener. I'm sorry. So I have not seen it.
All right, I'll get you a copy. But the, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Brad's a cool friend and everything, but I don't buy media sight unseen.
I don't know a lot of people that do nowadays. That's why I think Redbox is so big.
Yeah, Redbox or Netflix if you're still on the DVD plans or Blockbuster.
Well, also,
now, or
how would this affect Netflix with their streaming? For one thing I've heard, this has not been confirmed, this is just somebody on a website said that they read this, that Netflix would almost quadruple their fees of what they have to pay for these movies, which of then, of course, would be filtered down to you, the Netflix subscriber, if SOPA passes.
Yes.
So, again, how is this helping anything?
Because
anyone except the movie industry, I mean.
Yeah, and there really isn't. And again, this stuff that we're talking about, this internet traffic of entertainment is not even 1% of the information that's passing through the internet right now as we speak. This little bit of entertainment information, if you combine all of the movies, all of the books, all of the music and stuff like that, it's barely 1% of the information. But the industries that control that little 1-2% of the information on the internet would control 98% of the information on the internet because of the broad base that SOPA has.
Well, and then also look at just, you know, what does it really hurt? I mean, you've got the people like the MPAA and the RIAA and the other alphabet organizations are paranoid. They've always been paranoid.
That's
again,
their job.
Using a different P word, paranoid and piracy. Those two things seem to go together. That you've got the RIAA, like that video we or the audio we played from that video that pointed out they actually had a YouTube video removed of a baby dancing to a song
because
mom
fact,
didn't have the right to that song.
Yep.
Who did that hurt? All that did is promote your song, maybe bring your song to people who had not heard it before and would go, you know what? That's interesting. I'm going to go try and find that song on iTunes, or I'm going to go try and buy the album at, you know, the local Target. Who did that hurt? Who does that hurt in cases like that? You know, you've got a garage band that, let's face it, Scott, most garage bands at least start out playing covers.
Right.
Most of them start out as cover bands.
Right.
That would destroy that. Any of them maybe trying to get some little bit of publicity of their cover of Rock and Roll All Night or something mm-hmm. and that they put up on YouTube? Nope, that ain't happening. You either write your own shit or get the fuck out.
That's right.
You know, it would stifle creativity. It would stifle, they use the word startups, but I think that's sort of a too general of a term.
Well, startups, when they talk about startups, they're talking about, you know, do you remember back when MySpace was huge?
I remember I was never reading about it.
It was giant. People at the news station we used to work at used to use MySpace to find bands and stuff like that. And it was giant, and we were like, nothing is going to replace MySpace. It's
giant. You
know,
I'm kind of a Luddite.
I know. But that's the way a lot of people thought. MySpace is just the shit. Nothing's ever going to replace it. And then Facebook opened up out of the academic community, and we, you know, now you go to MySpace and, you know, tumbleweeds fly across your screen.
Do you mean like Google Plus?
Google, yeah. Well, no. Google Plus is actually, it's steadily growing.
Okay.
It's not going to be the juggernaut that they said would come and replace Facebook, but back when MySpace was the shit, nobody thought Facebook was going anywhere. Facebook came in, made the right deals, took the fuck off.
Okay.
And early YouTube, you know, other sites out there besides YouTube, you've got Blip, you've got Vimeo, you've got all of these video aggregation sites out there that, again, they are in major trouble unless they really put the hammer down. And SOPA and Protect IP, again, we're back to the, it's so broad that you pretty much, people could have your information, even information you created, ripped off of the internet because they wanna.
Well, and then also, like I said, like you and I talked about how we would be protected because Jackalope pays into the artists fund. How would this affect podcasts in general? So the Jackalope shows would be protected.
Depending,
we're arguably part of a corporation.
Depending, actually, because another part of SOPA, or at least the revised SOPA that's out there now, just paying into ASCAP and stuff like that that Jackalope does, it wouldn't be enough anymore. Now Todd would have to track what songs he plays, when, and pay per performance.
Well, but as we stand right now,
we have full
rights clearances for anything we want to do.
But regular podcasts like the Oblivion, the World of Oblivion that assuming he doesn't come to Jackalope, which he may, and I hope he does.
Last time I talked to Todd, he said he had to still get back to Jason.
Right.
So.
But you know, another pagan podcast, the music that I use on there, I have permission from the artists, but not the publishers.
That might not be legal enough.
And that's, no, it's not. And APP could be ripped down. Now, there is a network called the PodSafe Music Network that Adam Curry started years ago. And it's another one of those things that has lots of neat stuff on it, but there's a lot of tumbleweeds. Because people are like, nobody's really regulating podcasts. Well,
the neat stuff is too few and far between.
Yeah, the neat stuff is too few and far between and too difficult to find, and nobody really cares. Because you can get the neat stuff that's out there in the public eye and just use it and don't worry. And if SOPA passes, yeah, you're going to see podcasts come to just a creative halt.
Well, and then you also are going to make companies, got to remember, there's a lot of companies that are opposing this. Surprisingly enough, a lot of big conglomerates are saying this is a bad idea, which
Google,
I think that's
Facebook,
a good thing.
Yeah. Google, Facebook, Blip, Vimeo, there's a few other, Netflix.
But what this would force them to do is they would all either basically, if they kowtow to this, if they say, okay, we're going to do this, you know, the thing passed, we have to now start monitoring, they're going to have to probably by 400% increase their employees. They're going to have people going 24 hours a day, clicking on every single link to see if it's infringing. Mm-hmm. These companies will not be able to survive. Mm-mm. They're going to have to increase their employment to such ridiculous degrees because there's no way they can police this. But there's also no way they cannot police it because they'd be risking losing their company anyway.
Okay, let's do one good example. The big company that's really leading the opposition as far as industry
Google.
Goes is Google. They are submitted, I think, per day. There's, if not over a million, then it's real close. It's in the hundreds of thousands of new search engine results daily.
And I'm not interrupting you. I'm also adding that YouTube says 24 hours of video gets uploaded every second to YouTube. Do you really think that they can ever police all of that for content?
And I forget who I heard talking about this, but it was one of the big wigs at Google. He said just for Google, the search engine alone, they would have to hire the equivalent of the population, I believe it was the equivalent of the population of the city of New York in order to
police
this stuff. And yeah, that bankrupts. And if you're able to bankrupt Google on that alone, that's huge. And that doesn't even count YouTube.
Or any of the smaller ones. I mean, as big as Twitter and Facebook are, there's no Twitter and Facebook would collapse.
Well, Facebook, 750 million users now.
And you'd have to monitor every one of them every second of every day.
Every post.
Yes.
Every post, every link, every everything. It's a ridiculous expectation. Absolutely ridiculous expectation.
And all of this because somebody ripped a fucking 20th Century Fox movie and they said, well, that would have been $20. We need to get our politicians to stop this.
Yeah. And it's greed, and I'm
pure unadulterated greed.
Yeah, and I'm all for smaller government. That's the one thing where Republicans and I agree is we don't want the government being so big and so overloaded.
Yet the Republicans are the ones that want to ban everything because that's what small government's about, apparently.
But to me, this is taking control that the government has, that the Constitution of the United States came up with a due process. And yes, this does link back to the Constitution and due process of law. And what SOPA and Protect IP will do again is completely throw that out the window.
Well, and then the penalties. Let's say for the sake of argument, let's say this goes through, Google misses something, okay? That Google misses some post that, you know, is infringing, all right? So then all of a sudden, they have the SOPA Act crash down on their head. Basically, Google's out of business because what will happen is their IP would be banned. Visa, PayPal, MasterCard, etc. It would be illegal for them to do business with Google again.
Yep, your Google ads are gone at that point.
They would basically be banned from the internet forever. Or even a smaller example, say Brad. Cinema snub. He'd never be able to get a legal IP address again. No ISP would legally be able to deal with him.
That's
He'd
right.
never be able to deal with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard again. He would be blacklisted from the internet. If he would ever try and put his site up again, he would face even more jail time, plus jail time, all because he used maybe a clip of a Godzilla flick.
Yep, plus your
that
fines
is ridiculous.
And everything like that.
Oh, yeah, and the fines. That is so wrong on so many levels. There's no reason that this should have even been. It sickens me that this has gotten as far as it has.
Mm-hmm.
That really, that should sicken you as a listener that it got this far and your so-called representatives are all going, yep, darling, this is a good idea.
Yep,
I don't know why I just southerned them there.
I don't understand because there are plenty of northerners doing this too. But that's what I'm asking people to do is, like I said, fightforthefuture.org is a good place to get good information. And PIPA, you can fightforthefuture.org/PIPA will get you to the exact things. And I'll put the link to the video that we played at the very beginning and that link in our show notes. I don't know if it'll show up when it gets to iTunes or if it
will... No, because usually once I upload it to Jackalope, then Cassandra has to download it, which all the show notes get lost in that.
They shouldn't. They should be embedded in the MP3. But anyway, I will put these links in into the show notes. I don't know if you'll be able to get them. But again, fightforthefuture.org/PIPA. is a good portal, and this, and just if you go to Vimeo, just search for Protect IP, and it'll bring you right to that video that we played, so you can see there are some good visuals and
because we want to reiterate, censorship in any form is wrong, and this is not stopping piracy. This is censoring the internet.
Exactly. And on top of that, let's say this act passes, and let's say a similar act passes in Libya. That whole being able to organize a revolution using things like Twitter, gone.
Oh, I can see despotic regimes being so totally behind this.
Well, look at and again, if you want a good example, look at China. Look at the censorship in China. Just Google it.
I just think it would be ironic that with the European Union saying that they're against this, that assuming this passes, that there'd be more intellectual freedoms in the European Union than there would be in America. You know, land of the free and all.
Yeah,
that I just would find so brutally ironic.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But this is something that's very close to us. Not we certainly don't make a living doing this yet. Maybe someday we will.
Serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get someone at Serious to call me back.
I know.
Well, okay. Jillian asked me a question that you might know.
Okay.
Neither of us did when we did our SOPA show. Pictures are copyrighted. Would, like, say you take a video of your friend being drunk at a bar, would Budweiser be able to sue you because there's a Budweiser logo behind you?
Not Budweiser,
Would you be able to, you know, if you're wearing a Metallica t-shirt, you know, in a video, would Metallica be able to say, hey, you put that video online and that's our logo, it's a copyrighted trademarked image?
Depending on how broad Protect IP gets.
But I'm just saying, like, from what you know about it, how would that affect... Not even just videos, like a still photograph.
As it stands right now, since it's mainly in the hands of the entertainment industry, t-shirts and stuff like that are still kind of protected. But let's say that there was an NFL game playing in the background. Or let's say that the WWE was playing in the background. Then, you can be taken off.
And
your picture can be taken down offline.
See, that's the kind of censorship we're talking about. So all of you out there that might go, well, I'm against piracy, so I kind of support this. No, this is far too broad. And keep in mind, you're never going to stop piracy. I don't care how specific you make it. There's always pirates are going to find a way to do that. I am a pirate. We always come up with a way.
To quote Jurassic Park, while I still can, nature will find a way.
Yes, and you know, even if you would force us pirates back into the trading DVDs or trading VHS tapes offline, I remember what it was like being a bootleg buyer and seller back in the 90s. There was none of this electronic shit. You sent letters with your lists, and a trade took months.
Oh yeah, and like I said, there's always
we can always go back to that.
There's always the underground net.
Yep.
There's always Tor, which, as it currently stands, technologically can't be monitored, which is a good thing. And
that's because I think Tor is literally so underground, even the people who like made this probably don't even know about it. I wouldn't have known if you hadn't told me that one episode.
And there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with it. You know, the Onion Net, I too You know, I remember electronically trading pirated information when the internet was largely academic. And I would trade amongst other college students.
You always did that, you know. I mean, literally, piracy has existed since the birth of any sort of media.
Yeah.
Somebody said, hey, this is really cool. You should listen to it, too. I make you a copy, whether it's of a floppy disk, whether it's of a book. You know, one person buys a book and photocopies the entire book and hands it out to 10 of his friends. Piracy, right?
Exactly. And again, since fair use is out the window, depending on how much of a bug they get up their butt, satire can be taken down.
Oh, yeah. Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to make fun of movies or possibly even political figures anymore.
Mad Magazine?
Gone.
Gone.
Most, I mean, any kind of humor comic book. We talked last week about comic strips. Those parody and satire all the time. Those might go away. You know, this is so ridiculously broad. You have to stop this bill. But like I said, there is that theory that they don't want this to pass. They're going to come back with a narrower, you know, more focused one down the line when maybe there's a different president next year.
I don't know.
You know, that's one of the, it's frankly, one of the theories.
Frankly, the election this year frightens me. But why? That's another show altogether.
Because there's absolutely no one on the Republican side. They didn't even come close to being a fight against Obama at the time we record this.
Yeah, there's no one really on the Republican side that I can stand behind. Obama.
Well, I mean, not even standing behind. No one has a chance. Romney? Never. Herman Cain? Never. Newt Gingrich doesn't even have a prayer. None of these people can even come close to being what McCain Palin was. And that's where the Republicans are. There's so much infighting in them right now. That's why they have no chance, because everyone's going, I'm best. No, I'm best. Yeah. No, I'm best.
I know. But you know, the political scene and the regulatory scene in the U.S. right now is scary.
More regulation is never the answer.
Never.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at some of the stuff that Reagan deregulated and that again is another show. When it comes to Protect IP and SOPA, please speak out against it. If you're not in the United States, if you're one of our dear Canadian listeners or Serbia or
the Netherlands or Australia, yeah, we got people, you know, all over the world, dude.
Australia, there's another good example of a Western country that does some major censorship. And
really? I wouldn't have thought Australia was all that.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And talk to an Australian.
Hey, any of our Australian listeners, Lost in the Static Show, let us know how bad censorship is in your country.
Yeah, and they find ways to get around it. But again, if an act like this comes up in your country, contact your MP, contact your congressman, contact whoever it is that, and I apologize that I don't speak every language in the world, so I can...
God, you are so useless then.
But, you know, contact your people. And let them know this is the internet is really, like I said, it's the last bastion of American industry. It's the last bastion of true and total freedom that anybody worldwide can express. And we have to protect that.
Because there is always going to be somebody who wants to take that freedom away.
Exactly.
There's always going to be somebody that says, I know what's better.
Somewhere there will always be a Gaddafi. Somewhere there will always be a Mao. Somewhere there will always be the short North Korean dude, Kim Jong-il. Somewhere there will always be a Castro.
Somewhere there will always be a Bachman.
And somewhere there will always be a corporation that thinks it knows what's best for you. Somewhere there will always be a Walmart.
Oh, God. Yeah. Again, another show.
I know.
Another show.
But if you don't want the Walmarts of the world to have control of what you see, hear, and the information you receive, that's the level that we're fighting against here. I'm not overstating.
And also, what it would do, I know we only got a minute, but it would stifle the creativity to the point where all you would get is big-budget Hollywood movies. And let's face it, people, how many of those have been good in the last 15 years? Whereas most of the good stuff's from the indie films, that would not be able to get their budgets anymore under this and wouldn't be able to publicize their movies.
Look at this. Look at the tiny amounts of creativity online. The fun stuff that you see, the kitten videos, gone.
Look at stuff like us. I hope we are a fun bit of creativity on the internet and we help you guys get through an hour of your life. I really do hope that's what this show does.
Exactly. So thanks a lot for joining us. I, again, can't stress this enough. Fight the power.
Power to the people, motherfucker!
Exactly.
Adam and Eve. Static code.
Exactly.
Use it. Night.
Bye, everybody.